Hey guys, we're back at it again with the content.
Sorry, it's been 2 weeks
again. Yeah, it's been quite a while.
We're bad at this, and
yeah,
we're kind of unapologetic about it.
We just want you guys to know that we do love you and we are here.
We are.
But sometimes we're not, and we hope that that's okay.
And we're just happy you're along for the ride.
You guys who are hitting me up on Instagram, and you're like, hello, are you there? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't mean that. And sometimes I take a couple of days to answer, and it's not personal.
And Ray, here's your content. Sorry it took a second.
Yeah, I didn't think you were caught up anyway, and I mean, let's be real, most of the time you aren't, so.
She was so sassy about it, Ray. I, like, messaged her, I was like, Ray is wondering, and she was like, immediately, he just needs to get caught up. I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna tell him that.
But you did, and he messaged me and was like, excuse me, I am all caught up, and he sent me a screenshot.
So sassy.
Anyway, my cat Fitzgerald is crawling around here. The great Catsby will be prowling near or around the microphone.
And we're not going to stop him.
Yeah, we're just going to let him do his thing. I mean, he's the king of this forest.
This forest. Which is...
We're sitting on a shag rug right now, so...
It's very boho in here.
Yeah.
Very hippie in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just who I am.
I know. So we've been trash humans and have been watching The Bachelorette, as people who follow us must know.
Yeah.
And we're unashamed about it. Again.
I don't feel bad whatsoever.
No.
At all.
We have some thoughts, and we're just going to recap real quick. We're going to keep it under, let's say 2 minutes. Under 2 minutes.
Luke P.
Luke P is an ape man.
Luke P, I honestly feel sorry for you because you need Jesus more than you think you do.
I don't feel sorry for Luke P at all.
I feel like he doesn't realize how stupid he is.
Yes, he does. He is, someone said this, and whoever it was, I'm sorry if I'm taking your line from you, but he is the human embodiment of the Pikachu meme.
Oh my god, yeah, the open mouth Pikachu chew meme, where he's just, like, shook.
Yes, that is Luke.
You can't have this, Rose. Open mouth Pikachu meme.
Dead eyes.
He has such dead eyes, but I don't think he bothered me nearly as much as Cam.
Yeah, no, Cam,
Cam had stayed on the show, it would have been unwatchable.
Oh, for sure.
But
it's still
I'm totally
almost
watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Because of John Paul Jones. My name is John Paul Jones. My friends call me John Paul Jones. You can call me John Paul Jones.
I'm sorry. Bro. I love him and I won't apologize.
No, he's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, our icebreaker this week.
We did it.
We did it.
Oh,
yes.
Also, Hannah B., like, I'm still very annoyed by her, too. Like, I can't.
I really liked Hannah, and I felt like she's a strong, confident woman, but you can't just say you're a strong, confident woman and then not be a strong, confident woman.
We all have our moments where we break down and everything, but she doesn't stick with her word, and it's very annoying, and I couldn't be friends with her. It would be very frustrating.
I feel like she's likable, but I don't agree with her choices, and if I had been given a rose before Luke P. got the last rose during the last rose ceremony, I would have sent myself home.
Was it Luke S. is the other one?
Luke S.
Like, he knew what to do. He was like, I just need to go because you're delusional.
He already knew it was a shit show.
Yeah.
Like,
he's like,
knew.
You're delusional, Hannah. I like you, but, like, I know you're delusional and I need to go.
No, I agree. Like, I was
I'm
sad.
I'm a sweater. You can talk.
I was kind of sad, though, because I felt like I wanted to see what would happen if he had stayed.
If Luke?
Luke S. had stayed.
If Luke S. had stayed, I think... Well, I don't think he would have made it very far, honestly.
I don't think so either, but also, like... Him and Garrett are very similar in temperament. I feel like Garrett is somebody that...
Oh, it was Heather who was saying it. I don't think she listens, but anyways, that was who said the Pikachu meme, because she also is a huge fan of Garrett.
I like Garrett a lot, but I also...
I don't understand how people can like Garrett. There's nothing to like. What do you like about him? The fact that he hasn't kissed her? Like, I haven't watched the most recent one, sorry.
No, Kevin was the one that didn't kiss her.
Sorry.
He looked like handsome Squidward.
I like him, actually.
No, I did not like him. He was creepy.
Oh, he's gone?
Yeah, he... Sorry.
It's okay.
There's no
Garrett,
spoilers.
Garrett in the most recent episode really came forward for me. So...
We'll see.
Yeah. I guess we'll just have to see what happens. But we all know Jed's a piece of shit. Can we just... Cheers to that.
Oh, let's do it again.
That was shit, anyway.
Fucking hell.
We
it's
can't even cheers.
Jed is
it's
shit.
His fault. It's his fault. Yeah. So, on to the icebreaker question.
Yes.
The icebreaker question was, if you had a talk show, who would be the first three guests you would have on the show?
You take it first.
I would probably have, like, a music-based talk show and bring on musicians from all different genres. So I would have the Childish Gambino. I would probably have somebody from classic rock come in, like Mick Jagger.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have Harry Styles because,
yeah,
I fucking love him. Like who would doesn't? I'm blushing. Stop! It's your turn. Stop.
Let's be honest. I would have Miley Cyrus on.
Oh my god, she's my number four.
Honestly, a lot of mine are music too. I'm trying to think of someone who's not because the other one. Well, okay, no. I would have Miley Cyrus on as a guest. I would have. Probably Brad Pitt, because I'm very into a lot of his movies, and Ben and I go out of our ways to watch everything Brad Pitt, and everything Brad Pitt narrates, and all that good shit.
He narrates?
He narrated a, like, Superbike documentary.
What?
Like a MotoGP documentary.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was fucking dope. So yeah, that was cool. So Miley, Brad Pitt, and... Oh, Domino Gleeson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, can I put in that I would have a musical guest
him.
As the National?
Donald Gleason.
The National.
Okay.
Because I need him in my presence, even though he's really old, I'm really into him.
Yeah.
Oof. Those are my four, I guess. Who's your musical guest?
My musical guest.
For
I
your
think,
music
I think my first one will be
sitcom.
Haim, the band.
Oh, Haim?
Is it Haim?
Haim. H-A-I-M?
Yes. I've been saying that wrong my whole life.
I'm pretty sure it's Haim.
I love them. I feel like they're really inspirational when it comes to women in rock and roll. They're badass. And I love their bass faces.
Mm-hmm.
Their faces when they play music, it's just like they're so lost in it. And it's...
You should also have Alabama Shakes.
I love Alabama Shakes.
If you're wanting to keep on that vibe of badass women.
Yeah. Love them.
And Margaret Glaspie.
I also want Cher to perform.
Oh, okay,
at some
cool,
point.
Cool. Good luck. You need to be established first for that.
Lady Gaga. Gaga!
You gotta be very established for that. I'm surprised she wasn't one of your guests.
I was trying to pick somebody from different genres, and pop isn't one that I typically listen to.
Harry Styles is pop.
Well, yeah, it is pop.
Technically.
Yeah.
I mean, he does. His album, like, his. Full album is like all different genres.
I would say the pop music that I listen to is pretty much narrowed down to Taylor Swift, Harry Styles, and Lady Gaga.
Taylor Swift.
Sorry, I won't apologize for it.
It's fine. I listen to Miley and Noah. Like, I can't.
You need to calm down.
Oof.
I love Miley too.
I know.
I don't love Noah though.
I'm sorry. Don't love Taylor.
That's okay.
Recap on life. Do it real quick. You got it.
Recap on life. I worked 40-plus hours of overtime in the past 2 weeks, so I have been extremely busy with work. I stopped a patient from possibly harming herself or worse last week, and I hurt my back, and I'm okay now. And I went on a really fun date last night, and I got a bracelet.
Mostly good.
Yeah, mostly good stuff. I mean, working, I'm going to get
working
a fat paycheck.
Working is good. It's just stressful in the moment, and
yeah.
A lot in the moment. But yeah,
yeah.
Your paycheck's going to be amazing and
it's
worth
gonna
it.
It's going to be fun.
I've been working a fuck ton, too.
Yeah.
And
you work, like, every day. I feel like that's hard.
Yeah.
That's harder than working 12s.
Eh.
I mean, it depends on the it depends on what you do.
Yeah,
but
it just honestly depends. I just did a 7-day stretch.
Ew.
And this is my weekend.
I guess that's what I did last
week. Yeah, I mean, and before that I did a 9-day stretch before my vacation to South Dakota, so that's dope. I'm really happy to have wine with you, because I haven't been drinking a shit ton or anything.
I haven't either, barely
but, like,
at all.
It's really nice, like, I've been only doing it in moments where it feels good, and
yeah.
That's a nice thing.
And it's not too much either, like, I feel like I haven't been overindulging in anything.
No, me either. In like, anything, even food, or, like, positive things. Like, I haven't been overindulging in working out. Like, I've just been doing what I need to. I've not
yeah.
been stressing about it, and
I've been stressing about that a little bit, because I haven't really been working out. But, I mean, I think that there's definitely a balance when it comes to self-care, and,
there
like,
is.
The good things that you can be putting in your body, and the bad things that you could be doing to your body. And alcohol was one of them for a while for me,
mm-hmm.
and I have kind of learned to draw that back in.
Mm-hmm. And not just do it to, I wouldn't say to numb, I never did it to numb, but I definitely just did it because it was there, and it was easy, and
I definitely did it to numb.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never felt numb, I always felt more emotional.
Well, I feel more emotional in the moment, and then it all, like, is a tidal wave, and it just falls through. Like, all, like, I hold it up until I get to a certain point, and I drink too much, and then it's like,
whoosh.
You're really sad. You suck. You suck so bad. You're a failure. Haha, failure.
Oh, shit.
And that's my brain to me
mm-hmm.
when I drink too much. So that's why I don't do it.
Good, because
anymore.
That's bad.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. And then I would be spending the whole next day in bed being like, oh my god, what did I do last night? Like, I'm so embarrassed. I probably said mean shit to people, which, like, I never do, but
except for the Stanley.
Yeah.
To Tanya?
No, it was to those girls in the hallway.
Oh, but and Tanya.
Yeah, I did say some stuff to Tanya. I'm sorry,
mostly
Tanya.
Mostly the girls in the hallway, though.
Sorry, Tanya.
Tanya. If that was even her name. Tammy? Tanya? I don't know what her name
is. Who the fuck knows? Yeah. So, I haven't been doing any of that.
I don't think we have anything else to catch up on. Are you reading a book right now?
Yeah, I'm reading a book called, I just finished Hemingway in Love, which I was so, so inspired by that book. I loved it so much. I even wrote poetry in it.
It's so good!
It's so good! And then I'm also reading The Happiness Project.
Oh, yeah.
And
how are your thoughts? How are your thoughts?
How are my thoughts? My thoughts are good. I also feel like that book would be more suited for somebody who has a family and a husband.
Mm.
But at the same time, there are a lot of good little nuggets of wisdom that you can get for it. Obviously,
yeah.
It's like, how to be happy, all this stuff. Most people know what they should be doing to be happy.
Yeah, it's
but
actually
some people like me need that extra push. Like, I am a pretty happy person, but I like to read self-help books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
they're really good.
I'm a weirdo.
No. No.
Anyway.
I'm currently reading The City of Light
Did you get it from the library?
No. This is my book of the month club.
Oh, nice.
The Age of Light.
Do
sorry,
they send
by
it to you?
Whitney, what's the last name?
Whitney Scherer.
Yeah. Yeah, so my sister gets Book of the Month Club,
nice.
And she gave me, like, 3 of them.
Is it good?
I'm not sure yet.
Ooh, cults, conspiracies, and secret societies.
Wonder what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm also reading that.
I am reading several books myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also reading Nobody Cares About Crazy People, which is about, like, the devastation and the mental illness industry, and
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's right behind you. It's covered in coffee, so
covered in coffee.
The coffee spilled in my purse.
Yep, that happens to me too.
Yep,
it's super great.
I am a disaster, just like the Mandarin Orange.
One
sitting at the back of my locker for 5 months. What?
One day I spilled a whole bag of trail mix in my backpack right there. And coffee.
Did it clean it for 5 months?
No, and coffee all at the same time. So they muddled together by the time I got to work, and it was really embarrassing to, like, empty that in front of my boss.
That is disgusting. We are back from a brief interruption from my brother, Vincenzo, and here we are, Mallory and Jules, back at it again with the content.
We're coming back to you. We might be a little bit louder, and it's because we fixed some shit, okay? And we're not going to edit the first shit, because that's too much work.
It's too much work. And also, we pride ourselves in being an unedited, unproduced podcast that gives you only the realest of the real shit. By the way, we sang a little bit of Cher, and it was very, very heavenly.
Sorry we did not record it for
you. I sang it. I'm sorry, too. All
right, who goes first this week?
I think it's you.
Ooh.
Is it you?
I don't know.
Mine's really short and not... I don't know.
Okay, don't give me any hints.
You won't know him.
Jesus. Okay, well, if I'm going first... Did you like that?
Yeah.
I am doing a cult or movement called MOVE.
Ew.
Have you heard of it?
No, but it sounds like some kind of multi-level marketing scheme targeted towards people who need to lose weight.
It might have been doing those things, but no.
Oh, my bad.
You ready for some fucking knowledge today? Because not a lot of shit happens, but some shit happens at the end. Mostly it's just a lot of knowledge. You ready?
I don't know about you, but I'm wicked smart.
You ready to get smarter?
Ready.
Okay. MOVE was a black liberation group founded in 1972. The 70s for you.
Oh my god. Of course, boo-boo. My birth year.
Your soul's birth year.
Oh my god, Dini DeVito, I love your work.
It was founded in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania by Vincent Lopez Leofart.
Excuse me?
Leofart. Wait, how do you say
Leofart?
Is it Leofart?
It's Leofart. No, it's Leafheart.
Leafheart.
Who the fuck are you? Where did you learn how to read?
P-H. Fart.
I'm crying. I'm sorry, but if you don't think farts are funny, then you're probably dead. Inside.
Anyways, that's really not his name that we're going to call him by, because he was better known as John Africa. Because that's the name he gave himself.
Okay. Odd choice, but go ahead.
He was an anarchist, a back-to-nature revolutionary.
Oh.
The name MOVE he gave the group was chosen by him to say what they intended to do.
It sounds like a Zumba class.
You gotta move, ladies. What's the song? It's like, it's called MOVE. I don't know. Anyways. John Africa was born into a family of 10 children. His school assessed him as, quote, orthogenetically backward when he was 9. That basically means they quoted him as retarded or mentally unstable when he was 9 years old.
The last name like that, I mean.
Leo Fart. He dropped out of high school at age 16. It was speculated he had only achieved a third grade education at that time. He had a few armed robbery and car theft arrests on him, but was still drafted into the military and served in Korea. He married Dorothy Clark in 1961 and worked as an interior designer in New York City.
He worked as an interior designer?
Yes.
Okay.
John Africa.
That's kind of cool, though. I kind of feel like that's,
What a thing that can't happen nowadays, though. Like, you can't just go work as an interior designer after dropping out of college at 16 and only achieving
honestly,
a third grade education.
You have to, like, take a master's in interior design, and even then, you might not be trusted to design somebody's home.
Exactly.
I mean, to be honest, interior design sounds cool, but not everybody can do it. Like,
well,
just like art. I'm sorry.
I think, here's the thing with any... Nope, I'm going to rewind my words. Here's the thing about interior design and making, like, paintings, ceramics, things like that. It cannot be taught in an educational setting.
No.
So the fact that
it might not even be able to be taught at all.
Exactly. So the fact that in the 70s, someone could be like, oh, I'm actually really good about arranging things in a room and color and coordination and things like that without having a degree is kind of cool.
That is cool, especially as a man. Like, that's not really a man's...
It's more of like a feminine job career. Ugh. Hate that.
Fuck that.
Anyways, so his wife became involved with the Kingdom of Yahweh, which we all know.
It's a name for Mary. Just kidding.
It was a Phoenix-based church founded by Dr. Joseph Jeffers, PhD, Doctor of Psychology, Theology, and Divinity.
That sounds like
bullshit.
A lot.
Bullshit. All teachings combine pyramids, lost continents, ESP and astrology with end times prophecies, reincarnation, vegetarianism, and the rapture and flying saucers. It sounds like a crazy A24 production film.
Oh my god. Pyramids, my favorite shape.
The pyramids, they're probably part of the rapture. Dorothy.
Do you remember when the rapture was gonna happen in like 2009?
Yes. I read a lot about it recently in that book.
That really freaked me out.
Did it?
Yeah. I also had a severe anxiety disorder and was afraid of everything. Like, I thought I was going blind. I thought that I was going to die in my sleep.
What?
Yeah.
I've only had that anxiety, like, for a very short time of my life.
Yeah. I had it after my friend passed away. So, like, seeing somebody my age dying, I was like, oh my god, like, what if I die? And I'm like, well, you really aren't doing any drugs that would make you die.
So
I was
you're
like,
probably not gonna.
I'm still gonna die, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, without...
The rapture, man.
Yeah. Everything scared me. I was afraid to leave the house. Anyway...
Dorothy and John eventually divorced in 1968 with accusations of wife battering, which, for some reason, when I read that, I was like, what the fuck is wife battering? But it's exactly like what it sounds like. It is beating a woman.
Yeah.
Yep, battering. Yep.
You didn't know what that was?
I don't know why when I read it. I was in South Dakota sitting next to my brother, and I looked at him, and I was like, what's wife battering? And he's like, I'm not sure. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure either. And then we looked it up, and we're like, oh, we're idiots.
In our day and age, we just call that straight up fucking abuse.
Because it is abuse.
I mean...
but, like, a
no
wife
matter
battering.
Who the person is in relation to you, like, that's abuse.
Yeah, don't call it battering. Like, that almost sounds like you're making a cake.
A little bit, yeah. And it's not a very fun cake, you guys.
No. In 1970, Africa's life changed. He moved to Philadelphia, ditched the dapper interior design lifestyle he was living.
No.
And
stay with that.
And began to wear his hair in dreadlocks. Became a
like my stalker from the Wealthy Street Bakery.
What?
Travis.
What?
Yeah.
You had a dreadlock man after you?
Yep, and he had a twin. They both had red dreadlocks. His name
Whoa.
Was...
I think, is that cultural appropriation?
Yes.
I don't know. I really don't understand the terms.
Also, because I don't like them? Yes.
Sure.
I just hit him in the head. he would come into the bakery and be like, where's my girl at? And I'd be like, yeah, Travis, I don't have time for this. And also, like... Literally, stop leaving your number on the receipt that I give to you.
Ew. I hate Travis.
He was a nice guy.
Ugh. But weird.
Yeah, annoying and creepy.
So yeah, he started wearing his hair in dreadlocks like
no.
Travis. He became a self-contracted carpenter / handyman.
No.
And dog walker.
That would only be cool if you're making coffins.
Oh.
That'd be cool.
There's a Florence and the Machine song about a coffin maker.
Oh, really?
What's it called? Maybe just Coffin Maker?
I just saw a cute teen indie movie that was actually quite dumb with Maisie Williams.
Ooh!
And,
I'd be into that, though.
Asa Butterfield, and she has cancer, and he's a woodworker, and they become unlikely friends because he has severe anxiety, you know, like I used to, and I always thought I was dying, so, like, he thought he had cancer.
Full circle.
Funny story, you know?
I related to this character.
His doctor was like, you need to go to this support group for people who actually have cancer. So he went there, and they were friends, and he made her coffin. And it was like...
Was it kind of sad?
Yeah, I cried.
Okay, where? What is it called?
It's called Then Came You.
I'm gonna watch it. Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Awesome.
It was adorable. I think you'll...
I love Macy.
I think you'll love it.
Okay, cool. So yeah, he was a carpenter, handyman, and dog walker. So he's just kind of being the jack of all trades right now.
He sounds like a millennial.
With some dreadlocks.
He sounds like a millennial.
In the 70s.
No different from the 50 guys I swiped on Tinder like 6 months ago.
I was gonna say, I hope not yesterday.
No, not yesterday.
Because some serious things happening.
I haven't been on Tinder since...
Proud of you.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
Or, well, Hinge.
Whatever. They're the it's like when people say they went to Goodwill. They just mean a thrift store.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Only Goodwill is for profit, so send all your used clothes to your local mental health facility.
Plug. Anyway. He was hyper-articulate, quietly charismatic, and marginally literate.
Ew.
Yeah. So, honestly, I'm not...
Honestly, like...
I'm not a diagnoser, I'm not a psychiatrist.
Baby cult leader.
Autistic.
Yeah.
Like, all those three things, hyper-articulate, quietly charismatic, and marginally literate.
I mean, I've never met somebody with autism who is... Technically, like, I wouldn't call them charismatic. What do you mean by that? They don't really have a way with
quietly charismatic
people.
So here's what I what
so people
I would
liked
take,
him anyway, even though
yeah,
he was
I would
quiet.
Take it as endearing, right? Like
oh.
It's endearing, like you want to be around him.
Yeah,
like he's not scary.
Yeah,
but he's also not going to be the outward voice or like go into the party and talk to everyone. Like it's more like people want to be around this presence and they're endeared by it, and because he is hyper articulate, like whatever he does say
right
is very much so ingrained in what
I mean
you
I
hear.
Didn't want to make it seem negative in the way I was speaking about people with who are on the spectrum. It's just that
you are not
in my experience with them in psychiatric facilities.
Charismatic,
like,
isn't usually a word you would
it's
use.
Some of them are really fun to be around.
Endearing, I think,
yeah.
Is a better word. Because
endearing is a really good word for that.
Yeah, so let's... Yeah, okay. he became involved in a housing co-op in his new place in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Which, do you know what, like, a housing co-op is, really?
Kind of, like... I've met quite a few people who are in that. And sometimes they meet through church...
Yeah.
And they all live together, and they all work, and they pay, like, some sort of, like, subsidized rent.
Yes. Yes, yes,
and
yes.
It's very cheap.
Exactly.
But it's, like, communal. Like, they all cook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Good, good, good.
People do that a lot around here.
A shit ton.
Yeah.
And that's... Yeah. No, it's really cool.
I think that's kind of cool.
I think it's super cool, too. Like, it makes sense. Like, you're helping your community.
Only not if you're a cult leader. That's not cool, guys.
It wasn't that yet, though. Don't worry.
Okay.
He met a man named Donald Glassie, who had just received his master's in social work and had him transcribe hundreds of pages of his philosophical ramblings he had written out over the years and compiled them into the manuscript that would later be known as, quote, the book, or also known as the guidelines, which was basically the Bible of Move.
This sounds like a New Age horror movie.
It is.
Babadook.
Babadook.
That, it's amazing how scared I was to see that movie, and how not scared I was when I watched it.
That's fair. You watched it with me!
It was not scary.
I mean, it's a really good, way to depict depression.
Yes.
Though.
I agree with that a lot.
That was super smart.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I wouldn't call it a scary movie. I would call it extremely intriguing.
Yeah.
And a little bit off-putting.
I think I was expected to be scared. Like, in Hereditary,
I haven't seen it yet.
Fuck. You gotta watch it.
I know.
It was...
I know. I've heard. I know. The thing about The Babadook is that it wasn't like... Oh, don't spill on your rug. It wasn't like The Babadook was the scary part. It was the kid screaming in the fucking car and the mom
being depressed.
That
scene was hilarious, let's be honest.
I thought it was terrifying.
I hear kids scream all the time.
Yeah, I know you do. So he met this guy who basically wrote this whole fucking Bible for Move. But mm-hmm. this guy was a fucking master degree in social work. So, like, he was a smart man that fell under this
man
who had a third grade education.
To do good.
Which one?
The one with the social... You don't get a social work degree because you
Donald,
don't want to help people.
Donald Glassy? Yeah.
Unless you're a psych... I mean, it doesn't... You don't get a lot of money being a social worker. Like,
fuck no.
I'm sorry. Like, you don't go into social work for the money. You go into social work for the work.
Yes. And for the people.
I thought about being a social worker. I'm sorry. I love all of my social workers that I work with, but...
And they're necessary, for sure.
Absolutely necessary. I want to be a nurse because I want to help people.
That's fair.
But I also want more money.
That's fair. You want to live in this
and
world.
I love the medical field. I just think it's so fascinating. But he seems like he had the best intentions.
Yes. But.
But.
Let's talk about some shit this group was founded on.
Okay.
Okay. Africa and his followers, most of whom were African-American, which is, like, kind of beside the point, but later on not.
Yeah.
Wore their hair in dreadlocks, nodding to...
Wait, was he too?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was not clear on that.
Yeah, he is. Sorry, okay. I didn't make it known because it really isn't necessary to know until later.
And it's not...
It is. It is because...
If it's, if it's important to the story, like, yeah.
It is a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, Black Power and things like that are definitely a thing that we're going to talk about. So, most of his followers who were also... pretty much African-American, wore their hair in dreadlocks, just like he did, nodding to the Caribbean Rastafari movement.
So it's not cultural appropriation.
Apparently not.
Okay. his name just...
I know. Leo Fart. you mean John Africa. The name he gave himself.
The name that he was born with.
Leo Fart?
Yeah.
Vincent Lopez Leohart. Leohart. Vincent
Why
Lopez.
Why do I always assume that all the bad people are white men? All the cult leaders are white men, because they, a lot of them are.
I don't know. Yeah, this is kind of a different case, and that's kind of why I was intrigued by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They advocated for green politics, which is, this all sounds appealing to me. Ecologically sustainable society rooted in environmentalism, nonviolence, social justice, and grassroots democracy.
Okay.
That all sounds really good to me.
It all sounds like what, the Black Panthers started with.
Yeah, like, it sounds really, really nice. Like,
yeah. Or, like, what the Mafia started with in Sicily. They were just there to basically police the population but not be violent. They were just there to make sure everybody was taken care of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They also wanted to return to a hunter-gatherer society, which also doesn't sound terrible to me either, especially in the 70s.
Paleo diet.
They were deeply religious and advocates for life, which, like, okay, whatever. To each their fucking own.
Yeah, to each their own.
They believed in justice for all living beings, human, animal, insect, etc. Which I also think is...
It's kind of like Buddhism. Buddhism. I said it weird.
Buddhism.
Buddhism. I said it with a British accent and I don't know why.
Okay. They also believe that in order for something to be just or right, it must be just for all living creatures. So, like, if you're going to tear down a rainforest, it has to benefit everyone, even the inhabitants of, wow, we are killing it, of the rainforest.
Sorry, guys, we are a little rusty.
Ooh, not even drunk. That's the sad
John,
part.
I see you in the comments.
Oh, does John always give us shit?
He left us a negative review a while back. But I appreciate all the nice reviews we've gotten since.
Yeah, it's been really good, honestly. Which
is
awesome.
It made me cry a couple of really bad days.
Yay!
In a
good way.
In a happy way.
Yay!
Because I cry when I'm happy, sad. hungry, you know.
I'm just, like, gonna cry when I first walked in and didn't have food. Did you like how immediately
I'm like,
Yeah.
I was gonna feed you if you didn't eat.
Oh, no, I was, like, really, like, on the way here, I was almost, like, passing out.
Have you eaten it all today?
Yes. A chocolate croissant.
That's not eat.
So.
That sounds good, though.
Followers also changed their surnames to Africa. So everyone's last name was Africa.
We are all one big family.
We are all one. To show reverence to what they defined as their mother continent.
Huh.
Mm. Basically, they were a mix of Black Power and Flower Power. I want to call them Black Flower Power? I don't know. Anyways... yeah, Black Power was a huge thing, and Flower Power, obviously, in the 70s was a
yeah,
huge thing,
and
they mixed
it's
those
a huge
together.
Thing in my bedroom.
No. No. John Africa and Glassy refused to spray the apartment that they shared for roaches, and it, of course, became infested because it's
no.
in fucking Philadelphia.
Yeah, what's wrong with y'all?
And the co-op, which was part of this big building, instead of it being, like, an apartment complex, it was a co-op. So, like, they're all sharing, like, food and shit like that, and one of the apartments has fucking roaches in it. Okay, so they evicted them because they're like,
Man.
Fuck you two, you guys suck.
They're all gonna get roaches.
Well, they didn't want to spray because they believe that everyone's equal, even insects. But here's the thing, like...
Sorry, but if I see a spider, I'm gonna kill it.
Also, like, are,
while screaming at
are roaches equal to us? I just... Me, personally, I would say no.
That's... correct.
They then rented an apartment in a Victorian house across the street, and eventually Glassy purchased the building where members would live. So this is where the whole fucking MOVE cult ended up living. Many who joined MOVE searched for shelter from the world, a father figure, and a strict laid-out lifestyle. Which, like, everyone's searching for those things. So you can't blame them for joining
yep.
this movement, this
no.
group, this organization. To win the approval of John Africa, however, members had to change their diets, swear off junk food, and meat.
No Oreos or Cheez-Its. No ice cream and brownies.
No steak, no chicken.
Yeah.
And become physically fit. Which, like, what's the standard there? Because I've seen pictures of John Africa and I just want to know, like...
Is he not physically fit?
He's an average-looking dude. There's nothing that tells me that guy must work out. He just looks average with dreadlocks.
He must work out.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think that ever about people?
I mean,
that's a fit
I
person.
Feel like it's pretty obvious. Like, if I look at a guy on the street and he has giant guns, I'm like, he must lift weights.
Well, I mean, like, even you can tell a person who takes care of themselves versus
yeah.
a person who doesn't. And, like, he just looks like an average dude. Like, not
yeah.
that he takes extra care of himself or anything.
Right.
Just average. So, like, what's the standard of physically fit, John?
Is it sexual?
I don't fucking know. MOVE members started a lot of tension in the world. They picketed the zoo, protested outside a pet store. So they are basically like PETA.
Yeah.
They handcuffed television talk show host Mike Douglas to a chair in his studio to protest the treatment a renegade chimp had received when it ran amok on a show. Basically, it was shot with a tranquilizer dart and handcuffed. So they
Aww.
Did, they just handcuffed him to his desk to, like, be like, you are also fucking suck. Which, like, I feel like there's a better way to do that, but okay.
Yeah.
In both senses. I feel like there's a better way to handle the chimp in that situation, and I feel like there's a better way...
They agree.
I also feel like there's a better way to handle, like, how you feel about how he acted about
yeah.
the chimp. You know, like, also, was he the one who made that call about, like, tranquilizing the chimp, or Was it probably the producers and the cameramen and things like that?
And the person who actually owns the gym.
So, like, why the fuck
the
did he get...
The
yeah.
Like, but he did allow it to be on his show.
Sure.
So I mean, that's just also a way of demonizing the messenger.
Yes.
And society has... We live in a society.
Do we?
That demonizes messengers.
Yeah. I would agree. Anyways, they also had tensions that were growing between the Move family and the Palatin Co-op, which they were a part of, and police were called in. Move issued this statement. Are you ready for something?
Yee.
Don't attempt to enter Move headquarters or harm Move people unless you want an international incident. We are prepared to hit reservoirs, empty hotels, and apartment houses. Close factories and tie up traffic in major cities of Europe. We are not a bunch of frustrated middle-class college students, irrational radicals, or confused terrorists. We are deeply religious and an organization totally committed to the principle of our belief as taught to us by our founder, John Africa. We are not looking for trouble. We are just looking to be left alone.
Wow. But I feel like they're looking for trouble. I don't know.
What's happening out there?
I think Caitlin just got home.
Oh, cool. But no, they're obviously, like, that doesn't sound innocent. It doesn't sound like, hey, we're peaceful. It sounds very, like, threatening to me.
Yes. It also, when you're handcuffing somebody to a desk, I feel like it goes beyond peaceful at that point. It is threatening.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is what's gonna happen if you do this. Like, what would have happened if somebody killed an elephant at the zoo? Would they have killed that person? Maybe.
So yeah, they sent out that note to police officers when they were called to basically evict their headquarters and like, fuck you.
Yeah.
We're peaceful. And it's like, no, you're not. Like... At the bottom of the note was the chemical formula for nitroglycerin and TNT.
God.
So, like, that's just icing on the goddamn cake, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, you're not.
That's a threat.
Yeah.
We just want to be left alone. No, you want people to be afraid of you.
Seriously. And you want to be, like, the higher ranking power.
All cults. All cults just want people to be afraid of them.
Pretty much. That same day, Glassy was arrested for possession of an illegal firearm and became an informer for authorities. Or, in the eyes of Move, he became a traitor. Hmm. So he basically started giving away all these ideas of, this is what we're planning to do, this is what Move is doing, blah, 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 here's where we keep all
our
weapons. Nope. The next 6 months, he led authorities to collections of firearms and explosives and gave evidence to secure indictments against 10 Move members. After a year of negotiating with Move members to release their weapons and move out of their home, police came to a standoff with members who had not left. Police attempted to enter the house and shooting erupted. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Officer James J. Ramp was killed by a shot in the back of the neck.
Okay, so somebody had a gun.
And I don't know.
Was probably Robert Africa.
Robert Africa?
Is it Robert?
John.
Whatever. Why did I think it was Robert? What the...
It's not even one of his names. Vincent's the other.
Picturing, like, Robert the Doll leading a cult.
I don't know what Robert the Doll is.
Yeah. I'll tell you the story.
All right.
Some other time.
Okay. So, a cop was shot and killed. 9 Move members were tried and convicted of his murder. They claimed he was facing the house at the time, so it was fire from his...
I'm so sorry, guys.
It's a lot.
Oh, no.
Do you think they're okay?
They're fine.
Okay. That's all that really matters. They claimed he was facing the house at the time, so it was fire from his own fellow police officers that killed him. But prosecutors concluded Move members fired at the shot and charged the whole nine collective responsibility.
What?
Yeah.
Does that mean?
So basically they're like, all nine of you were part of this, so you all murdered him. Even though, like, if it's just one shot, only one person did it. Like, you have to figure that shit out. I don't know. This group...
So who did it?
Let's figure it out. This group, though, became known as the Move Nine. Each were sentenced to a maximum of 100 years in prison. Each of them. Nine people, one officer, 100 years each in prison. One shot on an officer. It seems excessive to me.
Very.
It seems like, obviously someone needs to be convicted, but like it seems like a lot. Let's talk about them. So there was Chuck, Delbert, Eddie, Janet, Janine, Marie, Michael, Phil, and Debbie Africa.
Marie.
Well, it's spelt M-E-R-I-E, so I just assume it's Marie.
Mary.
That sounds like Marie to me. With an E? Marie. I don't know. In 1988, Mary was 47 and she died in prison.
Oh no.
Well, I mean, it's a fucking 100 years. I mean, things happen. Seven of the eight surviving members became eligible for parole in 2008, but were denied. In 2015, Phil, who was 59, died in prison. On June 16, 2018, Debbie, who was 22 when sentenced, was released on parole and reunited with her 39-year-old son, Michael, who she gave birth to a month after she was imprisoned. It's kind of a nice homecoming.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
That is
It'd be really weird to see your mom at 39, finally. Or, like, be a part of your son's life.
And yeah.
Then, yeah.
I mean, I don't know who that's weirder for.
I think it's equal. On October 23rd, 2018, Debbie's husband, Michael, was released on parole. And on May 2019, Janine and Janet were released after 41 years in prison. Now, you may be thinking, where the fuck is John Africa?
You know why I'm thinking that? Robert California. From The Office.
Is that who you're picturing as John Africa? It's Robert California.
No, John Africa is not white, but... Robert California is the reason why I thought his name was Robert. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It doesn't make any sense, really, but, like, I don't know.
At least that's where the thought process came
from. Yeah, that's where that came from.
Let's all picture John Africa as a black Robert California.
Yeah, so basically...
So, John... In the meantime of all this shit that happened, he somehow escaped capture until 1981.
Mm-hmm.
When he and eight of his followers were arrested in Rochester, New York, and brought back to Philadelphia to stand trial. The jury acquitted him, and he and his followers moved to Osage Avenue, where they built a new compound and began arguing with a new set of neighbors.
Oh, no.
In 1981... This is a really bad name, guys. I'm going to butcher it. Mumia Abu Jamal, a prominent African-American journalist and activist. He had sympathetically written about MOVE, was arrested for murdering a Philadelphia police officer. This isn't funny. He was arrested for murdering a Philadelphia police officer, Daniel Faulkner, but he had at one point really stood by MOVE, okay?
Yeah.
He requested for John Africa to defend him, but it was refused. They're like, no, that's not a fucking lawyer. That's not an attorney. You don't get to just bring in John fucking Africa.
So John fucking Africa was like, I'm not defending you. Or the state was like, you're not?
The state.
Okay.
Yeah. John was never informed of any of this. But,
don't defend him.
Long story short, this man was convicted and sentenced to death. Okay?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, John Africa was in a full dictator mode. He was going fucking crazy. He was being the perfect cult leader, okay? He would...
Hair twirling intensified.
He would broadcast his nighttime sermons through loudspeakers to disturb his neighbors, inflicting cruel discipline to current MOVE members, and harassed and threatened previous ones. So he did the good old Waco cult
Yeah.
You know, he did the whole, like, I'm just going to fucking talk on the loudspeaker all night, but he did it like what the cops did, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's fucking crazy. The bullhorn used to broadcast the nighttime sermons broke, and about 3 weeks later, 3 weeks after it broke,
yeah.
the police obtained arrest warrants charging four MOVE occupants with crimes including parole violations, contempt of court, illegal possession of firearms, and making terrorist threats.
Holy shit.
The mayor and commissioner officially classified MOVE as a terrorist organization in 1985. Residents of the area were evacuated from the area and told they would be able to return home within 24 hours.
I mean, they did kind of act out of fear pretty frequently.
Yeah.
To make people afraid.
They did. They definitely did. So the police were like, we're going to step in. Everyone
mm-hmm.
needs to leave because things might get crazy. We're not really sure what these guys are really capable of. We've been told they have firearms. So they moved people out. They said, you'll be back in 24 hours. Don't worry about the thing. Okay?
Yeah.
On Monday, May 13th, 1985, 500 police officers and city manager Leo Brooks attempted to evacuate the building by force and execute the arrest warrants that they had on all these people. They shut water and electricity off. The commissioner, Samber, read a long speech to MOVE members that started as, quote, attention MOVE, this is America, unquote. So he's basically being like, we're not the only ones thinking you're fucking crazy. All of fucking America does. Like, you guys
right.
need to stop. They did not respond to these measures, so police began to forcefully remove them. There was an armed standoff. Police lobbed tear gas at the building. MOVE members fired at them with semi-automatic and automatic firearms, which I think is like a stupid description that Wikipedia gave me. Like, they just fucking fired at them. That's all that matters. Police went through over 10,000 rounds of ammunition before Commissioner Samber ordered the compound to be bombed. That's dope.
Dope.
So much fucking ammo.
That's so dope, dude. I would love to be there at the top. I would.
What's your voice right now?
Have you seen,
oh, God. What?
What's that new show with Chris Lilley? He produced and wrote and directed and acted in Summer Heights High. And there's this new one on Netflix, and it's with this girl with big legs, and she's in college, and she's like literally 9 feet tall. There's this like 12-year-old boy.
No idea.
You need to watch it.
Okay, is it
and
good?
And he plays all of the characters.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay. Who is it?
Chris Lilley.
Okay.
Oh shit.
You gotta look it up.
I have to look it
is
up.
Is it
now?
Gonna bother you?
Because Bianca's gonna be like,
Bianca.
Bianca.
Don't you?
It's Lunatics.
Lunatics, and it's on Netflix?
It's a Sky.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
You've never seen Summer Heights High? Or Jemay, Private School Girl?
No.
Hey, holler at me on Instagram if you like that-ish.
Alright, so...
embarrassing.
The commissioner ordered for a bomb to be dropped on them. A helicopter then dropped 2-pound bombs, which the police referred to as, quote, entry devices.
Okay.
And the bombs were made of Tovex and dynamite substitute. So it doesn't sound like entry devices to me. It sounds like we're going to kill some people.
Yeah.
The bombs hit a gasoline-powered generator stored on the rooftop makeshift bunker and ignited a big kaboom fire.
Kaboom.
Such a big kaboom fire that it eventually destroyed about...
That's the kaboom fire. That's what it sounded like. Just so everybody knows.
Everyone get it?
We trained them to do that. We're so talented.
Anyways, it eventually destroyed about 65 nearby houses. Not just the fucking compound, which I think is insane. 11 people, John Africa, and 50, what?
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Fear and Fame, where Jules and Mallory cannot read their own fucking handwriting. Just wait for mine.
11 people, John Africa, and 5 other adults, and that were all 7 to 13-year-old children, died. Okay?
What?
Yeah.
We died in a giant explosion that went kablammy?
So there's John Africa, 5 adults, and 5 7 to 13-year-old children
that
died.
Fucking is awful.
To clarify my writing, everyone, one of the surviving MOVE members, Ramona Africa, said police fired at people trying to escape, which is, like, terrible to think about.
That's really bad.
She was also charged and convicted on charges of riot and conspiracy and served 7 years in prison. Which is interesting to me. 7 years for just riot and conspiracy. Now, Ramona, one of the only surviving MOVE members of that bombing, acts as a spokesperson.
Spill the tea, Ramona.
For the group. No, she's still part of this.
And now she sells the LaRoe.
No, she's still part of MOVE. She's a spokesperson for the group. And in 1996, a federal jury ordered the city to pay $1.5 million as a civil suit to Ramona and relatives of 2 people killed in the bombing due to the city using excessive force and violating the members' constitutional protections against unreasonable search and seizure.
Are you sad? Use doTERRA, lemongrass essential oils.
She probably does.
That stuff smells good, though.
I use doTERRA.
I have some doTERRA.
Yeah. After John Africa died in the bombing, his wife remarried and had a child in 1996. The couple later divorced in 1999. They fought for custody of their son, and her ex-husband testified in court that MOVE had threatened to kill him because he didn't want to be a part of it anymore.
Oh my god.
On the night...
No, I'm threatening my asshole!
On the night before his first visitation with his kid, he was shot and killed in his car.
Oh my god.
Parked outside of his home in New Jersey.
No, this is the worst part of the whole story.
Right? Like, this is long after all, like, the main thing happened, and, like, there's still, like...
Okay, there were children that died, so no, it's not the worst part, but it's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, okay, good job. Way to catch yourself there.
Whoop.
The case remains unsolved to this day, as far as the guy dying who killed him. His ex-wife denies the murder occurred at all. She says, quote, "He is out hiding somewhere," unquote.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's because she ordered someone to kill him. Just my thoughts. I don't know. The only
imagine what it'd be like to live with that kind of power. I'm just kidding.
No. Something very interesting is that the only child to survive the MOVE bombing, the name was Birdie Africa, and he drowned in 2013 in a hot tub on a Carnival cruise ship.
That sounds peaceful.
Does it, though?
No.
Because it sounds terrible to me.
It does not sound peaceful whatsoever.
I got all my information from a book called Cults, Conspiracies, and Secret Societies by Arthur Goldwag and Wikipedia and culteducation.com.
Oh, wow. I like that last one a lot.
Culteducation.com?
Yeah, that's a good one. Wow.
That is the MOVE cult.
That was a really interesting story. Thank
you.
I feel like there were a lot of different pieces to that story that just, like...
It's just a lot of information.
Super fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it didn't get really fucked up until the last bit.
Where he gets shot and killed in his car way after all this shit happens and John Africa's dead and MOVE really doesn't exist anymore.
No, like, when John Africa dies, like, that whole...
The bombing, the police.
Yeah, the, like, the face-off with the police.
Here's my thoughts on
that's
it.
That's when that whole fucked up part starts.
Here's my thoughts. I think it's the 70s.
Yeah. My birth time.
Black power,
right.
Well, discrimination
there was
is a
the
huge
Black
thing.
Panthers who...
Black Panther, all that is definitely moving, and I definitely think that discrimination was even more so than it is today, as
yeah.
far as police officers versus society.
Right.
And because this was a mostly African-American cult, I think that definitely put more force to these terrible police officers right. that were discriminating to just be like, let's bomb the place because they're
well, despite
not
the fact that, that this is a very different cult, it's no different from the rest of them. In when it comes to the end of their cult leaders,
yeah,
it's crazy how many of them end that way.
By being shot by authorities?
Yeah, like, they have to resort to that. Like, the army, the SWAT teams, the police come in, and they have to take charge with their weapons because of how dangerous these people are to society. It's happened time and time again.
I just think they're dangerous to themselves, too, is the other thing. They're not a stable human who starts the cult, ever.
No, that's for sure.
So they're manipulating, they're terrible, which I think also can be said about authorities and police and military and things like that,
yeah.
But that's a different story. That being said, though, I think most of the time police intentionally are trying to go in just to stop
yes.
that force of nature that
well,
is
they,
the cult leader.
They have to take some sort of action, but if they feel threatened in any way, you can't blame them for...
I can blame them for bombing the
for
place.
For reacting to the threat, but...
Bombing? 65 other houses!
That's a little excessive.
We're on fire from this bomb.
That's excessive. Like, I don't think anybody will deny that.
And if Ramona was telling the truth, the woman who survived, like, if they did shoot at people
yeah.
who were trying to escape, and, like, we're like, never mind, we're all good.
Yeah. No, that's extremely excessive. I think that that was overkill.
Yeah, definitely. Anyways.
That was a good one.
That is me.
That was really interesting. Thank you.
Should we wait until that commotion dies down before you do? Or just go for it?
I'm going to tell the story of Bobby Fuller.
Okay.
He was an American rock singer and guitarist of the Bobby Fuller Four. I had never heard of him, and you probably haven't either.
I don't know who Bobby Fuller
but,
is.
But Fuller grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah, until 1956, when his family moved to El Paso, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really into the new rock and roll star Elvis Presley at the time. He also loved Buddy Holly and found them to be great inspiration to his own music.
Buddy Holly died 2 miles away from my house.
Really?
Yeah, his plane crash.
Oh,
the site is right, like, 2 miles away from my home.
That's crazy.
In Mason City, right, because he was going to the surf ballroom in Clear Lake. Buddy Holly!
I like Buddy Holly.
Everyone likes Buddy Holly. Fuck, man.
And in the early 1960s, he started playing in clubs and bars in El Paso, and his younger brother, Randy, was the only only constant band member in his group on bass.
Were you going to say constipated?
I don't know what
the
I
only
was,
constipated
I don't know
band
what
member.
I was going to say. He, but his younger,
me too.
His younger brother Randy was the only constant band member in his group on the bass.
Okay.
So Fuller built an echo chamber in his own backyard with microphones and a mixing board from the local radio station.
What's an echo chamber?
It was like a recording studio.
Okay. That's a weird...
And it was so impressive that he let other local bands use it.
Because it was that good?
Yeah, and he wanted to kind of, like, hone in on his production skills when it came to music.
Mm.
So he could get a little taste of production. Which is kind of interesting. Yeah, so I guess he was one of the only people who was doing that kind of thing. It kind of sounds creepy.
What year is this?
But,
did you
1960s...
Say?
In 1964, they moved to L.A.
Cool.
But let me continue.
All right, sorry.
Guess where Fuller moved next?
L.A.
How did you know?
Ding, 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 ding,
you
ding!
You fucking guessed it. He, just along with everybody else I talk about,
no!
moved to L.A. I'm suing you. I'm just kidding.
No, please don't, but we need to get it now.
Oh, guys.
Oh, my God, what? Have you done this before?
Maybe there's still some there. There's still some there.
Y'all. I just spilled red wine on a white shag-ass carpet.
And I took my Doris t-shirt and smacked it on the ground.
And guess what? It's pretty much gone. That's
yeah,
gonna go
the
away.
Yeah, the t-shirt's black anyway, so.
And I took your red cardigan and also helped.
All right.
Done. Okay.
Yeah, but just like everybody else I talked about in the past, Bobby Fuller moved his fucking ass to Los Angeles.
Isn't that kind of still the case? Like, anyone who wants to be a famous musician, probably going to
Los Angeles. Or a screenwriter, or whatever. Like, my friend Adam is moving to Nashville, like.
Ooh, yeah. Nashville is up and coming.
Yeah.
Austin I like Nashville. Too.
Except for Jed Wyatt, you can go fuck yourself.
Whoa, calm it.
He's from Nashville.
Calm. Anyway.
Okay, fine. In 1964, the Bobby Fuller Four, mouthful, moved to L.A. Literal mouthful.
We're the Bobby Fuller Four. That's how I would say it. after two
That's cocktails. What they call a foursome.
Ew. Are they all boys? That's kind of hot.
Yee-yee. They were signed to Mustang Records. By Bob Keane, a surf music connoisseur. Kind of like the Beach Boys.
Ew, I'm not into that.
I don't love the Beach Boys. I think they're okay. I wouldn't choose to listen to them.
Wait.
But if they came on, I'd be like, okay.
The Beach Boys don't sing the song, Bring Me the Beach Boys, Bring Me the Soul.
No!
Who sings that?
That is Uncle Cracker, I wanna get lost in a rock and roll.
And drift away.
Drift away.
Yay. That's Uncle Cracker?
Pretty sure. Google it. Anyway, the Beach Boys sing ba ba ba
ba ba ba ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba
ba ba What
yeah,
is the next one?
Take My Hand, I think.
Okay. Not Won't You Dance.
Nobody will ever listen to us again after this episode.
Episode 30, and they're done.
And we're back on our bullshit. The end.
30 and flirty.
Anyway, that's the end of this episode.
Sorry, guys.
Just kidding. So, Bobby Fuller was on guitar. Randy Fuller played guitar, bass, and vocals. I mean, heartthrob, am I right?
That's a lot of things, though.
Jim Reese played guitar, and Dwayne Cuerco was on
Dwayne
drums.
Or Dwayne?
Dwayne.
Okay.
Did I say Dwayne? He whoops.
Dwayne.
Dwayne?
Uh-huh.
Nobody will ever listen to us again after this episode.
And I'm not editing it.
So, together they recorded I Fought the Law, which was one of their biggest
Wait, I know this
ever.
Song.
Well, The Clash also did... Yeah.
They covered it?
I Fought the Law.
Yeah.
I think maybe...
Who did it first?
The Bobby Fuller Four did it first.
So, that does that mean The Clash covered it?
That's a good question, because I know that The Clash wrote a song called I Fought the Law, but I've never heard Bobby Fuller's I Fought the Law. Is this Bobby Fuller 4? I Fought the Law on the Law 1.
I know the song.
Yeah. I Fought the Law
can we keep that in there? I think we can. That little
it's
bit.
Only like...
It's really old,
it was,
so there's no...
Yeah.
There's no... We're fine. We're keeping it in
Yeah,
there.
We're fine. Don't tell on us. We're not making any money.
So. No one else is listening, so don't tell on us,
guys. Don't tell on us. Everybody stop listening by now. I'm just stupid. Anyway.
I Fought the Law.
So they recorded I Fought the Law, which obviously The Clash covered.
The Clash knew they were big.
So while Brit Rock invaded America, Fuller stuck to the classic Buddy Holly Tex-Mex style of music. Yeah. So he was like, listen, I know you guys are all, like, going to London and enjoying that, you know, like, Brit flag, whatever.
You're into the Smiths. You're into the Doors. You're into...
The Doors are American.
You're into the Killers. They were around then.
Yeah, kids. The Killers weren't around then, but you should totally listen to
They
Hot
sound
Bus.
Like they were.
Yeah, they kind of do.
Yeah.
And you're a star. We should do a music podcast. Anyway.
Should we?
Yeah. Within months of I Fought the Law becoming a top 10 hit, Fuller was found dead.
What?
Yeah. Rumor has it that on July 18th...
Rumor has it.
Fuller received a phone call and left his Hollywood apartment in his mother's blue Oldsmobile, Later that day, Fuller's body was found in the front seat of the car with a gas can nearby.
In the Olds mobile. In the Olds.
Yeah. His body had been doused with gasoline.
Whoa.
The car had been in the apartment building parking lot for 30 minutes before his mother found his body.
Ew.
Fuller's body and his arms were covered in bruises, suggesting that he had been beaten and dragged. Early news reports reported that Fuller's death was suicide by gas asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation.
Gas
asphyxiation.
God damn it. Anyway, the LA police were like, yeah, sounds great.
No.
That sounds great.
We're not going to look further. Just sounds good.
Sounds great. Fuller's associates were not under suspicion at this point, and the LA police disposed of the gas can without dusting for fingerprints. Like, seriously?
Have you guys heard that single, I Fought the Law?
Yeah, fuck these guys. I Fought the Law and the Law won. Not really. Not today. Anyway, the autopsy, they performed one of those?
Yeah, when the fuck does that... Who ordered that?
The autopsy revealed no further evidence that he'd been beaten.
Not helpful.
The report said that the gas vapors in the summer heat could have caused bodily hemorrhages. Like, okay.
What? So, like, the bruising?
Yeah, apparently gas vapor and summer heat could have caused the intense bruising on his body.
Yeah, I go
outside.
It seemed
like he had been beaten.
I go outside in the summer, too, and sometimes just, like, it looks like I've been beaten.
Do you also inhale lots of gas vapors, Mallory?
Yeah.
We need to talk about that. Anyway, the medical examiner concluded that Fuller's death was accidental and a suicide, so he checked both of those boxes.
Those don't go hand in hand.
But why?
But
those
why?
Don't,
those don't relate.
Accidental. Why? Why on the cups of stardom would Bobby Fuller kill himself? Wow, that was bad.
By accident, for that matter.
3 months after Fuller's death, the official cause was accidental asphyxiation.
So he was into choking himself?
A lot was left unanswered.
Was it sexual? I'm so confused.
No. How had his body reached an advanced state of rigor mortis if his body had only been in the parking lot for 30 minutes? Had he died elsewhere?
Probably.
At a different time?
Probably.
Here are the theories. Number one, Fuller died accidentally after taking LSD at a party. I don't know how they could have come to this conclusion because LSD is so random. I mean, I get it. I get that it was like rampant at the time, but I mean, if they hadn't performed an autopsy and found LSD in his body, how could they come to that conclusion? Like, what the fuck? I've never heard of anybody overdosing
on
LSD and dying.
It's almost like a cop-out. Like, you just...
Maybe coke or maybe heroin, but, like...
LSD.
I've never heard of anybody taking acid and,
like... bombs!
They took one acid and died. Like, I've never heard of that before. But anyway. Number two.
I don't know, I've never taken
Keen, the person who signed them on to the record label, had Fuller killed to cash in on an insurance policy he had taken out on the singer.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds accurate.
I honestly think that they did that a lot back in the day because there were a lot of people overdosing.
Yeah, and insurance policies, yeah. Like, we know.
And
we,
number three, you'll never guess. It's a big cult.
It's a what?
Charles Manson. Yes, that's right. People think that Charles Manson killed Bobby Fuller.
Wait.
There's no details to this whatsoever. Like, there is nothing.
Okay.
But we all know that Charles Manson was, like, big into the Beach Boys and was, like, BFFs with them. So, like, who the fuck knows?
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not.
He wrote
that.
A song with the Beach Boys. There's actually a really creepy recording of it. I'm pretty sure you showed it to me. Or did you not?
I don't think so, because I don't know anything about Beach Boys. And...
Who showed me that? Text me, please. Anyway, there's a fourth... one that I think is very...
We don't think it's insurance policy?
There is a fourth one that I think is pretty plausible.
Okay.
His brother, Randy Fuller, had his own theory, and it was mafia.
Mafia?
So, Morris Levy, who is the owner of Roulette Records, He was known for mafia ties and his strong arm tactics, which was, which meant that Randy thought he was involved in his death. Mm-hmm. So they had been signed with Roulette Records in 1966. Fuller may have been killed because he wanted to back out of a business deal with Levy. So these are some quotes from Marion Linna. In July 1966, Bobby had had it. The band was going to break up. He wanted out of the group. He wanted out of the recording contract. He was going to go solo. They were all supposed to meet at Bob Keane's, but Bobby didn't turn up because he was dead. Thanks, Captain Obvious. But his death remains a mystery to this day.
You think it's sad. You think it's a mafia.
I mean, there isn't very great supportive evidence for any of those theories.
I feel like it can be both the mafia and the insurance.
They both have great motives, if you think about it. I mean, he was just getting famous when this happened, and he wanted to go solo.
I won't go solo.
It could have been any of his band members. It could have even been Randy.
No.
His brother.
No.
Scar killed Mufasa. Anyway, I got all my information from Classic Rock, ultimateclassicrock.com, maybe, and wikipedia.com.
Dope. That was amazing, though.
Yeah, I had never heard of this one, so I thought it was really, really interesting.
Bobby Fuller and the Four.
Bobby Fuller and the Four. And I actually really like their version of the Eye of the Law. Like, I do.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
They actually, like, it sounds good.
Yeah.
And also,
they did it first. So.
The Clash ain't got shit on them.
Yee.
Shoot.
Yee.
Ah! It's in leather, booby.
Anyway.
Anyways, guys, I hope you're okay with our ramblings this week and the dogs barking.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other in like 2 weeks, so you guys know how that goes. Like, we just really missed each other, and it's been stressful weeks for both of us, but I think that we did our best when it comes to giving you content, and I hope you enjoyed our little rambles in the middle, but please be nice to us because we're fragile.
We're fragile little babies.
Yeah, we're fragile.
Just like you, BBs.
Yeah, and we love you.
Trust no one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.